From last week, I want to just touch upon just a few other areas of commands. We had talked out last week in regards to those commands that are in the Bible, the commands that we are instructed to follow, and it's not just speaking of the Ten Commandments, but it's the many commands that Jesus has spoken, the commands that God has spoken in His Word. And it's things that I think we need to be kind of looking at, and there's so much more in His Word, right? There's so much more in His Word than just reading it and thinking like, that's a good story. It's reading His Word and seeing how it's there to help us. It's there to grow us, to mature us. It's there to guide us. It's there to get us in a closer relationship. Have you, by reading His Word, have you developed a closer relationship with Him? You know, and that's what it's all about. It's us building and growing, maturing, and not getting too big for our britches. Sometimes we in our Christian circles may think we're so big for our britches, like, I know it all, or I know this, or I know that, or God is saying this. And sometimes when we hear that, it might be for the body, but I think a lot of times when it might be just for us that God is saying this. And sometimes we've got to gauge that and decide, is this for everybody or is this just for me, Lord? And just see where the Spirit takes that with us. But it's being tuned into the Spirit. Do you agree? Being tuned into the Holy Spirit to hear these things, these revelatory things from God, and not just reading His Word. But sometimes when you're off on your own and just away from the Bible, all of a sudden you get a sensation in your spirit that the Lord is speaking to you. That's awesome. You're just totally removed from any surrounding. I'm not at church. I'm not sitting down. I'm not reading the Word. I'm not praying. I'm not doing this or that. I'm out and about just doing something. And all of a sudden I just feel the Lord say, Tim, Tim, you know. And we end up going, yeah, that's me. What is it, Lord? I truly want to hear from you. And that's that relationship that we want. And so last week I shared a little bit about some of the things that He's commanded us, that of the Word, about being afraid, not afraid, and all the derivatives of that and how prominent it is. Remember we talked about, I think if you look at the overall derivative of fear not, be not afraid, do not fear, things like that, there would be a devotional for 365 days, one of every day of the year that would be nothing but tied into do not fear, have no fear, do not be afraid, because I think the Lord was trying to get something across to us. Do not be afraid. That's one of those commands. So we looked at that a little bit. Then as we ended last week, I talked about, you know, the fear that we had, the reverential fear, that's a good thing to have, and we find that in the book as well. And we want to have that reverential fear. That fear is that of reverence, awe, fearing of respect, you know. And we want to have that with our God. I want to respect Him. I want to revere Him. I want to honor Him. I want to glorify Him at the times that I need to. And I don't want to take it lightly. But we also know that God is I think He's a fun-loving God. I think He's a God that likes to joke around with me. Does He ever joke around with you? Have you ever had some things come from Him and it's like, wow, Lord, you know? He's not always, Tim, do this, 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 this. Follow this, 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 this. You're not doing this, 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 you know. It's not that at all. A lot of times my times with God is, maybe I have a question or I have a concern. And He, in His way, is able to speak that into my spirit. And I said, yeah, I was asking about that. I was wondering about that. But then there's a lot of times that I just have fun with God. Do you have fun with God? I hope so. I hope that you can have fun with God, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. All these things that we look at. And we want to look at some of these areas, but I want to show fear and reverential fear when it needs to be. We honor and glorify God. But today I want to look at a couple other commands, because I left it out last week about some of the other often repeated. It's not that these are the highest amount of commands. And you can go in there and there's so many things that we could follow along this path. But just picking out some things in some of the scriptures. But we're going to look at the praise the Lord. We've already looked at do not fear. Rejoice and give thanks. These are things that we're commanded to do. We're commanded to praise the Lord. We're commanded to rejoice. We're commanded to give thanks on an ongoing basis. And so hopefully today, In just the short time that we have, we will run through just a little bit of these things and bring some light to them. So the first one I want to look at is the command of to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, let's praise the Lord. In the King James Version, if you look at that as far as the translation, it could be spoken of here in about 248 times, or about 216 verses have something to do with praise the Lord. So, King James translation, and you can get into all kinds of different translations out there, and they kind of change some of the verbiages and all, but that word still means the same thing. But looking in King James, it's 248 times that it's spoken of. And we look at this as, well, okay, the biblical definition of praise. And we do it this way. It's to express approval or admiration of. We're admiring. Praise the Lord. We're admiring our Lord, aren't we, when we praise Him and give Him the glory. It's a commendable thing. We're commending. We're extolling. It's to offer grateful homage to a deity. To us, we're that deity to us is what? God. Praising God in words or songs. We can do it either way, and I think He loves it either way. But we can look at this as far as one of these frequent commands that we should be doing is praising the Lord. In a word study, if you look at that word, praise, it's to exalt, to magnify, to glorify, to declare the greatness of. And that's what I think when I praise my God, that I'm amplifying Him, I'm glorifying Him, I'm declaring the greatness of God in my life, in my situation. And then when we get into a situation, hopefully we can do that. Because when you're in a situation, a mountain, a sea, or a desert, you may want to try praising Him above everything else. And not to look at your situations around you. We've got to keep our eyes focused upon Him. And sometimes to do that, we've got to look past the problem. We've got to look past the situation, and we got to look at Him as the answer, or as He's already given us that answer, and He's just saying, follow it, do it, obey it. So the happiness of those who trust God. Are you happy when you trust God? When I have my full trust in Him, I can handle a lot of situations. How about you? And then we need to get that strength from Him to be able to handle those things. But I always want to, you know, when we get into times of prayer and we do a lot of praying and intercessory prayer and of those times, maybe sometimes after we've let that prayer go to the throne room, is we need to begin to praise Him, thank Him for the answer. Because I know, don't you know, that the answer's coming. Do you believe when you pray, the answer is going to come? Do you not believe that God hears your prayers and He sends the response? Now, what we've got to do is be willing to pay attention and wait for His response and find it that it's His will of how He's responding to it and not by what I truly want it. And then as long as I'm not looking for it the way that I want it, because if I'm looking for the way I want Him to respond by my prayers and by my petitions, there's a good chance I'm going to miss what He has sent because it's not coming the way I wanted it. But I've got to go to that next level of perfection and maturing in myself, and I've got to sit there and say, but I want Your will, and I want to be so tied into You, Lord, and so keen to You that I want it this way, but I'm going to accept it whatever way You send it. And if I don't understand it, guess where I'm going to get the understanding from? Myself? Am I going to get the understanding from the situation? Generally, no. I'm going to get the understanding from Him because I'm going to go back and say, Lord, I don't quite comprehend this or this direction or this answer or this response, but I believe it is from You, and I believe, Lord, You have my best interest for sure in Your hands, so help me understand this response and let me walk in it. Let me walk through it. Let me walk whatever it is. Let me handle it, Lord, the way You've responded to it. But I'm going to praise the Lord even in those times. Go to a Psalm. You know, if you look at, there's like spoken of 248 times, 216 verses. We're not going to be able to go to all these verses. So I just picked like one of each one of these particular categories. And the one in Psalms 34:1. 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually is always. Continually is ongoing. Continuing doesn't mean it starts sometime and stops, and then it starts another time, and then I stop, and then I get tied up, and then it stops, or whatever. Continually in my mouth. You better have blessing the Lord at all times and praise in your mouth all the time, continually to God. God promises great blessings to us, to you. I'm going to say, God promises great blessings to Tim. Put your name in that blank. But many of these blessings require active participation. We have got to do something on our end to actively participate in these things that God is sending to us to help. Now, in this area of Psalms 34:1, just take a look at it. So we've looked at this, where in 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now we look at this, and we have to have active participation with God. Have you already understood that? I'm sure you have. I think I'm looking at a little bit more of a mature body here, but you've already understood the option of there is no option. You've got to be participating with God. Maybe as a baby, maybe newly coming to him and beginning steps of salvation, you were able to kind of sit there and he would lead you along and take you by the hand. I think as we grow deeper into that, as we get longer into becoming recognizable with God in our lives, that we should be able to say, I have to put some activity in this, and I've got to participate in these things that God has got for me. But what about where it says this, and we talked about this last week, in 34:4-6, what does it say? I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. So we find that he will set us free from fears. We find out that he will rescue us. Amen. If you go into, just keep reading Psalms 34, we've already looked at the 34:4-6, where he sets us free from fears. You cry out. Anybody cried out to God? Oh, God! God, help! When they cried out and the Lord heard him, when you cry out, the Lord hears you. He will even hear you when you speak in normal tone. You don't have to yell at him. But I think there's those times in our desperation. Anybody, as we get desperate, you find out your voice kind of goes up a little bit. As you need more of an answer, quicker, when you want to make sure somebody understands you, you elevate your voice, you kind of give a shout a little bit more. And when you're in the depths of something happening in your life, there's a lot of times that we just cry out, Jesus, help me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. People that are going through life and things happen tragically, probably they don't have any even relationship with him, but that's probably one of the things that you hear they might cry out is, oh God, or oh Jesus. Mainly it'd probably be like if they don't have a relationship, they're going to cry out to God as that car is getting close to that cliff or that car is getting close to whatever the case might be. When you see imminent danger coming your way, imagine a lot of us, even that don't even have a relationship with God, cry out to God. How nice it is for us to have that relationship already, to where we already know that when I, not necessarily cry out, but when I call out to God, he's there to help me and to protect me. But anyway, he will guard us and rescue us. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Now that's that fear of reverential fear. We fear him. We honor him, and he what? Delivers them. So as we look at this, the Lord encamps around those who fear him and deliver him. Isn't that exciting to know that if we have that reverential fear of who he is, Almighty God, he encamps around us because we know of who he is. We know of his stature. We know of his ability. We know that he's the creator. We know that he has the beginning to the end in his hand. He is the Alpha and Omega. We know that he says in his word, he changes not. The God that we serve is a God that is a God of his word and a God that will be there and he will stand with us and he will be there for us through different adversities and he will deliver us from things that come against us. In verse 8, it goes on and says what? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see. These are why we talk about that we look at the praising the Lord. We can praise the Lord because of all of these things he's about. My goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Have you tasted him? Taste is, of course, we think about that. I think one time I had a message on this. To taste, to eat, to discern, to perceive, to evaluate. We find out this word here refers to the testing of good by means of the senses of taste from the primary sense of physical tasting. We get to the coming of the noun to it referring to discernment. Oh, taste. Oh, discern and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We got to get that message out to the people. As we get into our times of the seasons that we're in, I've been listening to some CDs this past week in regards to times of the time we're in. And I appreciate a part of it that it's kind of hearing it is this, that we got to make sure that we don't focus on the day of what we're in. And get our eyes off of the prize. Get our eyes off of the primary purpose of everything is Jesus Christ and salvation and eternity, and that he's there for us. And that we've got to get the church prepared for that, to raise up that church, but we've also got to get that out there amongst the people that are lost in that darkness in the world. Does anybody really think you need to go out to the people in the world and tell them that there's a lot of stuff going on in the world? They're going to say, hello, yeah, I know that there's a lot of craziness in this virus. I know there's a lot of things with this politics. I know there's a lot of things with, you know, the moralities of our nation. We don't really need to tell them that, do we? What are they missing? The message that God is good, that God has a plan, that God is there for you, that God has a way to get out of this, that God has something special for you. They already know the news and the stuff on the news is bad. I don't need to tell them that, but I need to tell them something that they don't have they don't understand, or they haven't been heard. Hearing it, or maybe they've heard it and it's been some time, but maybe we got to refresh their memory. But we got to get back to the point of saying, but I've got an answer for all this that's going on today, and it's the same answer that was back in 2,000 years plus or whatever, is that of salvation through that of the blood of Christ. Jesus died for you. He's asking you to come into that of the kingdom of God. There's no way into that heavenly place except by him, the word of God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one enters into the Father except through him. I want to introduce you to someone that can help you with what you already know is going on. Really, that gets us right down to the point of like, hey, let's just cut to the chase. It's almost like, have you ever had like somebody come door to door, or a salesman, or you're in a store, or they want to sell you something, or you go whatever, and they run through the whole gamut of all kinds of stuff, of their product, of their this, or what they can do, and blah, 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 and what's capable of. And all I want to do is I want to get down to a couple of things like, okay, I already know it's good because that's why I've come to talk to you. I've already done some research. I just want to know the price and how soon it can be done. See, if we can get those people out there having a relationship with Jesus Christ, they already know that it's going to be rough. They already know all this is going to be doom and gloom, and the bad is going to be called good, and good is going to be called bad, and all of this. They'll eventually learn all of that. But we've got to get them connected into what the source of this is that of God, through that of Jesus Christ. And I think this is what one of the key points of this audio set was, is that we get our eyes off of just speaking and preaching, or if that's what we want to call it, preaching, if we're sharing just the message that has been foundational in all of our lives, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Some of you here today might have come to him with not even being in any kind of disaster. It might have just been to a church service or a friend sharing the love of that of Christ. But like most of us, as we came to Christ, it's just like, you know, hopefully it wasn't a mountain. I hope it wasn't a desert. I hope it wasn't a rough sea. But he's there for those times. But we got to get to this level of sharing the goodness of God. The goodness of what God is about. And the church has to be showing that peace, the assurity of that. No anxiety, no worry, no doom, no gloom. Because I know that my place is not of this place, but it's in a higher place. And so when I keep my eye on the ball, my eye on the prize, I don't get mixed up in all this other stuff that could distort it or take me away from hearing from my God at a very crucial time. And I think that's what happens in some of our churches, well-loved, well-founded churches, that sometimes we get so wrapped up in some of this worldly stuff that we take our eyes off of our salvation. Not that we've lost salvation, but we take our eyes off of where our salvation came from so that we can speak it to others that need it. He supplies our needs, 34:9. It says, we've talked about tasting and see that the Lord is good. Oh, in verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want. We could say there is no lack in to those who fear him. See, this is all of these beneficial things of that reverential fear, of fearing God, of who he is, God, God. But when we fear him in that proper way of respect and honor and magnifying him, look at all the things that come along with that, and that's our participation in to get these things. To participate, to have him and his blessings and his taste and see, and to find out that we will have no lack. We've got to participate. We've got to do something. We've got to keep our eyes on him. We've got to keep the message simple. We've got to keep it just what God spoke about, what Jesus shared on the cross, what Jesus shared for those three and a half years of his ministry. But we just need to keep it simple. Keep it simple. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no lack to those who fear him. What about this? He listens to us when we call upon him. If we drop down to 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. My, my, my. As he hears us, as he hears our cries, as we cry out to him, he hears us. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You're being watched today. We're being watched by that of our God. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to hear their cry, or for their cries. And then one last area there of 34:22. And this is Psalms 34, which is an awesome psalm. But if I go down to 34:22, at the very end, it says, "The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." We got the best, guys. He's there for us. One of the commands that we want to focus and keep on our hearts, keep close to our lips, is what? Praising the Lord. We want to make sure that we're actively participating in these things with him, because as we are actively participating with him, guess what? He is actively participating with us. And I want him to participate with me. I want him in my corner. I want him next to me. I want him wherever I'm at. I want him there with me. How about you? We want to invite him in. We want to be in his presence. Now, we've already talked about this command of do not fear. So we're going to drop down into the command of rejoice. How many here like to rejoice? Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Yes, Lord, rejoice. It's around 183 verses we'll speak of rejoicing. We'll find it in about 38 books of the Bible. So rejoice is another important aspect of a command. We find that it means this, to be glad, to be greatly happy. Woo! I like it when I'm greatly happy. How about you? Nothing like being around somebody that's not just happy, but somebody that's what? Greatly happy. Hallelujah. My goodness. We find in Philippians 4:4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Thank you, Father. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. Here we're finding, now this is, who's writing this? Talking about rejoicing in the Lord always? Paul. And was he at the, the Hilton? Was he at the five-star resort when he wrote this? No, he wrote this while he was where? Prison. Could you go figure that? How many here in your time of where you felt like, is this really my way of serving God, is in prison? And I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to shout for praise and I'm going to write all this good stuff? But I always remember reading one time on a footnote, and I think it was for John, but it's like, it's one of these thoughts. It's like, if you ever want to have someone of like a disciple or, a follower of Christ, really hear more of God through that of the Spirit is just put them in prison and they can't do anything. Because all they're going to do is listen. And God is just, through the Holy Spirit, download this information to where they're going to write it and write it. So here we go. We find that Paul, he's in prison. He's telling us to rejoice. Well, that ought to tell us something already of his fiber of what he was about God, about out of Christ, what he learned from his time. And we look at this and we say, we can learn from Paul that our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Our inward attitudes do not reflect our outward circumstance. Keep him on the inside, amen? Keep the joy of the Lord on the inside. You might look around and it's like really doom and gloom and it might be really bad things and it might be a rough situation. Then people are looking at your outside and you could kind of look like you're frazzled. But if we have that within us, the inner core of us is at peace, at rest, where we're looking at this area of rejoicing with the Lord, even in dire situations, I believe what we feel on the inside will eventually come to the outside. Don't let your outside areas influence what's taking place inwardly. As the Spirit of God is within us, as He is connected with our spirit, let us remember to rejoice. Let us remember to rejoice in the Lord always, and again to rejoice, Paul says. Paul was full of joy because he knew no matter what happened to him, guess what? Who was with him? Jesus. No matter what was taking place in his life, Jesus was with him. No matter what's taking place in your life, the Lord is with you. No matter what visit you're going to the doctor, no matter what you're doing to go to the bank, no matter what you're going to the work to do this or to do that, in your life, as life is, we know and we need to know and recall and remember that wherever I go, He's going with us. We talked earlier, just back before, about how the eyes of the Lord are on us. He's watching us. You know, God is watching us. As we go about, He's there with us. Do you sense Him with you? I was going to say, do you feel? But we say, well, let's not go on just feelings. Let's really sense it. But do you really sense that within your life, within your walk? And it's got to be a sensing that's just not a warm, fuzzy feeling, although He does give warm, fuzzy feelings. But it's a feeling that you just know, I'm not alone. I just know that I am not alone. Have you had that experience? I believe you have. I believe our good friend here, Doug, he's here. And I imagine how many times he's out ministering and out on the reservations and speaking to the Native Americans and all and seeing the power of God, seeing the Spirit move. That's sometimes where you really see it in that ministry is when you see it out there. Not necessarily in here, but it's out there where it's touching lives. And then you talk to someone and they go, oh, that person hasn't had a smile on their face in 5 years. Or I don't ever remember them even being happy. I've always learned or seen them to be down because they've been so oppressed, so despondent. And maybe through the Word of God, not maybe, but through that Word of God, they hear something and it clicks and it happens and we begin to see a change in that person's life. And what happens, we see on the outside, that person looked sad, looked down. Something happened on the inside that changed that whole persona. And pretty soon when one was no longer or wasn't able to smile because of something that of the Lord did within them by just coming alive, their spirit woke up. The Spirit of God came in. They received Christ. They're a new creation. Now being a new creation, all of a sudden they smile. And you might ask them and they say, because I've changed, something inside of me has changed. And that's the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that the power of God can come into us and change us from the inside out. Because I want to tell you, it's best to be changed on the inside and let it come out than to just have it superficial out here that, oh, look, they're joy and they're raising their hands and everything's good in church. Hey, hallelujah, I praise my Lord. Tuesday comes, something happens, and they're just a wreck. It's like, what happened? Because they did not have the inner strength. They did not have that inner witness. They didn't have that inner change within them because they, for whatever reason, we could find out, I guess, but they didn't take it deep within them to say, no, this thing that I've got, this joy that I've got, this joy, this happiness, this whatever I've got is good. The world didn't give it to me. So if the world didn't give it, what's that song, of course, say? The world can't take it away. The world wants to take away anything of joy, happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction. The world wants to take it out of you as fast as it can. But if we've got our innards now tuned into that of God and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, with our spirit, we are walking on a different path, and that no matter what the outside things that are affecting me, inside there's going to be a calmness inside. I'm going to have the joy inside. I'm going to have peace. And if we can get it enough of us on the inside, it should eventually, guess what, come to the outside, to where people recognize that and say, you are in such peace, even in a very rough sea. You are in such peace, even though that mountain is there before you. You are in such peace when I would think you were in a desert and lost from everything. Well, it's because of what I've got in me. And what I've got in me, this world ain't going to take it away. And you might have to fight for it. You might have to do everything in not your power, but your power. Remember, we talked and we started out with this thing talking about there's things that we have got to participate in. We have got to do our part. Well, you have got to do your part to where you will not allow the world, the God of this world, Satan, to take away your joy, to take away your peace, to take away your surety, to take away whatever it is that the Lord has given us and we walk in. You better guard it with yourself and take some preventive measures, by that of being relationally with Him, in communication with Him, hearing from Him, being obedient to Him, reverential fear of Him. Because as we are reverentially fearing God, He will take a place around you and He will be there for us. But you have got to make that choice. So here we go. We find that all this is taking place, and Paul is telling us to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Paul was full of joy because he knew no matter what happened to him, Jesus was with him. I've heard stories, and you've heard them too, are just not stories, but somebody say this, that they've been given some kind of a diagnosis that sounds terminal or whatever the case might be, and they believe in healing. They're going to the doctors. They're doing this. They're doing that. But they tell the doctor, the doctor's giving them all the things, and sometimes they'll say, well, you know what, doc, you do everything you can, and I'll follow this, and we'll do this, and blah, blah, blah. But just in case it doesn't work on your end, it's okay, because I'll be healed in heaven. And they come with that attitude like, it's a win-win. It's okay. It is okay. And sometimes man looks at you like, what? And there is such a testimony that I've heard from individuals that have gone through situations like that. I've had people tell me, like, when they've gone into, like, for cancer treatments and things like that, that their positiveness of God, their strength they feel inside, their peace that they have, even though I'm going through a very rough sea, a mountain, a desert, whatever, but they have such a peace and an assurity that they have said that where the nurses and staff around them, they begin to well up in tears and cry because it's like, wow. This person has such confidence in God. Now, they may look at it, they have such confidence in their God. You know, we got to, what God are you serving? But in the God. But people look at that, and it brings attention to it. And I'm sure they would say, and many times, I've had this pastor friend, how many times he ministered to those in the examination and the treatment rooms as he was sharing, and he was probably ministering to them more than they were ministering man's physical healings to him, because of his stand and his demeanor and his, he was on the outside. It wasn't just on the inside. His outside was just at peace and could talk to them and share the love of Christ. And even tell the doctor, I believe you're a good doctor and you do fantastic things, but I'm praying for you that God will work through your hands. That's living that lifestyle of what our style should be of life. That where I go, He goes. What I'm getting involved in, He's there with me. Yeah, sometimes it's pretty bad stuff in this life that we're living in this side of heaven, but He's still there with us. Do you believe that? He's still there guiding you. He's still there, your surety. He's still there. You have not, just because you get a terrible disease or whatever the case is, doesn't mean you've lost salvation. You know, we still have salvation. We still have that surety. And that's what this whole thing gets down to, is knowing that where I'm going to be in eternity, no matter what happens on this side of heaven, it's just, I know where I'll be. So, here it is. If you haven't been joyful lately, you may not be looking at life from the right perspective. If you've not been joyful lately, you may not be looking at life from the right perspective. Change your perspective. Christians are commanded to rejoice under all kinds of circumstances, and obedience is possible because true joy is in that of the Lord. And you can kind of look at these things, but Christians can be inwardly joyful when everything is dreary and like I don't see any help or hope in it. In Philippians 4:12, it says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that I can be this. So no matter what we're in, we're going to have those trials and tribulations in our lives. We also look at Habakkuk 3:17. I think I shared that back a few months back when we got into this COVID thing and shut down and all that. But if you look at that and how God was there and how he provided and how he took care of everything for the people, God is there for you today as well. So that's 3:17 and 3:18 of Habakkuk. Also, 2 Corinthians 6:10 will share something along those areas of being joyful when things are just falling apart around you. And that's when the enemy can't stand that. When he sees all these things happening to you and you're standing strong and you're praising, you're rejoicing, you're thanking God, the devil just doesn't understand it, and it just causes him to just like twist inside. You're probably giving him an ulcer because the devil's trying to worry. He's in worrying like, how can this person be this way? But it's because of who I know I am in Christ and how Christ is there with me and how God is there with me and all of these things of thanking him and rejoicing with him and have no fear and be not afraid. All of these commands that he has sheltered us with to be able to call upon and to follow. One last thing here is that of giving thanks. Here again, now this will appear about 100 times in one form or another of giving thanks. Merriam-Webster says it's to kindly or grateful thoughts. It's gratitude, and it's expression of gratitude, returning thanks before the meal, things of that nature as we do these things. But as we look at these areas here, this means that we thank God for hearing and answering, thank him for what he has done and is going to do for you. Thank him for what he's done, thank him for what he's going to do, amen? He's not going to leave you in the mire. He's not going to leave you in a situation that is bad or detrimental to you. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will open doors, and he will shut doors. Those doors that need to be opened for you, he will make sure they're open. Those that you need to not go through, he will shut. We are to give thanks in all things. So it says here, now how can we thank God for terrible trials and accidents and death and sin? Now this is the thing we've got to understand. We're not thanking him for all those things. Thank you, Lord, for that accident. Thank you for this illness. Thank you for this. This is not what the scripture is meaning. What God means is thank him for his presence and power as we walk through such trials. We're going to have trials, right? Jesus said that. And so we're not thanking him for that trial. We're not thanking him for that situation. Thank you, Lord, for my car to break down. Thank you for, you know, the furnace to go out. No, but it's knowing that he is going to be there with me. What God means is thank him for his presence and power as we walk through such trials. I've had times when those things have happened, and something like that happens, and I don't know, just appliance or whatever. One of my first things is that, oh, well, Lord, it's just made by man and it'll fail. What's your plans, God? How are we going to get this replaced? You know, give me some ideas, give me some wisdom. Do I call for a repair shop or do we begin to look at buying something new? Well, whatever it's going to happen, Lord, I'm going to trust you that you're going to provide. Whether it's finances, maybe it's not the finances that he's given me a check in the mail, but I go and I buy a particular item and all of a sudden that day it happens to be 50% off. Or we find one that's been, you know, marked down 60 or 70% off. It's the last one. I don't know. But those are benefits of God blessing you in those situations. So I'm not thanking him that my refrigerator went out. I just go to him and say, Lord, how are we going to take care of it? How are we going to take care of it? Do you want me to take care of it, or do you want to take care of it? And so that's what it is when we look at him giving thanks. We thank him for his presence and his power as we walk through a trial. In Christ Jesus, there is victory and triumph over all. No matter how bad, no matter how terrible it is, we have got to know in Christ Jesus, there is victory and triumph over it all. So that's why we can look at this and say, well, therefore in everything, as we walk through, all thank God for the victory that he has given us through Christ. We just begin to thank him and praise him and worship him for what he is doing, going to do, and how he's going to take care of it. Philippians 4:6 will help us with this. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you guys request things from God? Or are you just whine to God? Oh, God, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, God, why me? Why is this? Why is that? Take it head on. Hey, this happened. I'm going to my God. I'm going, as I like how Wayne would say, I'm going to Daddy. I'm going to go to Daddy and say, Daddy, how are you going to handle this? What's the best way? And I remember we talked out and we began this as we wrap up here, but we talked about how there's application process that we've got to put towards it. So I go to God and I say, God, am I to take care of it or are you to take care of it? Let me know. Let me know. And he will do that. Has he done that with you? Have you talked to him and focused on those things? As we look at this, being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul's advice is to turn worries, guess what, into what? Prayers. Worries into prayers. But I think what we've touched upon in these areas is to commands that God has given us. Please react to them. Please do them. You know, be not afraid. Do not fear. Look at the areas of that of praising the Lord. Look at that of rejoicing. Look at those areas of giving thanks. If we can do that on a very, very regular basis, I think that'll please God. And actually, it'll put a pep in your step, probably, type thing. Because we're not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the answer. I'm not going to look at the direment of what this is doing. I'm going to look at saying where this answer is going to come from. And I'm going to receive it. And I'm going to honor him. I'm going to reverentially fear him. But I'm going to respect him and give him all the glory. And thank him before the answer even comes, because he's heard my prayer. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we come to today as a time of closure, I thank you, Lord, that, you know, many times, every Sunday, we say a closing prayer and then we go home. Lord, I'm thankful that you go with us. That, Lord, when we leave here, we don't just leave you in the sanctuary. We say, hey, come with us, Lord. Be with me today. Be with me Monday. Be with me throughout the week. And all the adventures and all the things I'm going to have to take care of, Lord, I thank you for your presence. I pray for everyone here today, Lord, that you will just be with them, guide them and lead them. Speak to them, Father, and the needs that they would have. Show them, Lord, that you're there. Lord, we thank you right now. Amen.